Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today I'm joined by Francois Den, who set the supported FKT for Corsica's GR20, bringing the record under 30 hours for the first time by completing the technical 160-kilometer route in just 29 hours and 46 minutes. Francois, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you for welcome. Really happy to discuss with you about this nice topic.
I would love it if we could start out by having you tell our listeners what the GR20 is, maybe where it's at and what the trail is like.
So GR20 is one of the famous higher trekking road in France and even in Europe. It's in Corsica, small island, South France, and it's quite technical and quite famous because, it's a nice traverse around this island. And in France, we have Tour of Mont Blanc and GR20 in Corsica, but one is more classic route and one is more really technical and really wild.
This wasn't your first time out on the GR20 setting a record out there. So can you talk about your first FKT on the GR20 and why you came back to do it again?
Yes, so for me, and I think for a lot of people in France, it's Corsica, it's a nice island. And this trek is very popular and famous. So I did it for holidays. I did it with my wife for my first long trekking adventure. And then 10 years ago in 2016, I decided to try an attempt on this road. And I managed it and I put 31:06 on that road. And it was a very nice story with friends. And I was pretty, pretty happy about that performance. But year after year, I was not thinking going back. But then with the experience and 10 years later, I was pretty happy to consider that maybe I can run it again. And that's why we decided to go with nearly the same group and same friends and the kids, but now they are way more bigger, to go back on the island and to try again the attempt.
So what did you learn on that first go around, or maybe in subsequent years, that you were able to bring in to this year's attempt to dramatically lower the record?
And 2006, I know very well the trail, but I was there 1 month ago just by myself without any pacer. And then they joined me for the attempt, but they don't know very well the trail. And it was quite difficult to navigate sometimes, especially during the night, and especially because the forecast was very difficult. And with all the rock wet and all the terrain wet, it was even more hard for them to be able to follow me. So I was alone many, many hours. And that was a bit quite difficult. And I have to slow down a bit because all the rock wet. And because it's FKT, I choose a kind of window of 3 days about the forecast to wait. And it was not enough. So this year we try to get a bigger window. We take 4 days and we start the last day. So I think hopefully we did it. But I learned that you really need to know pretty well the terrain. You need to prepare yourself for warm condition, cold condition, everything. You need to study a bit more, maybe the forecast. And it's quite long and quite technical from the beginning to the end. So don't be surprised about it. So that year I came with all of this and I try to manage with this.
What were the conditions like this year? Did you have good weather then? It sounds like you waited until you had a decent time frame.
Yeah, exactly. The first day, we have 4 days to start with the team. And the first day I was a bit sick and condition were not perfect. So we decided to wait. And the weather changed a bit. And the second day, finally, was not possible to go because there's a big storm on the afternoon. And the day after, too. So we have to wait, and the last day was, okay, there's no storm, but it will be very windy and temperature will be high, like 2 or 3 degrees Celsius more, and it looks like nothing. But when it's more 30 plus 2 or 30 plus 3, it's not nothing. And the conditions were not perfect, but it was possible to do it. But yes, it's never perfect, but okay, it was a bit hard.
How did you manage the heat? I'm not familiar with the GR20. Is there a lot of water out there? Is it pretty dry?
There's some river, small river, and there's like some kind of hut each like 2 or 3 hours. So it's possible to bring like water with you. But yeah, there's some part like on the ridge where you will be like 2 or 3 hours without any possibility to refresh or to take water. So yeah, if you have to consider it, especially during the afternoon, where it was like pretty warm and I have to slow down a bit just because of the warmth. So I think, yeah, we lose maybe 20, 25 minutes. I think it was better to slow down instead of explode.
Can you talk a little bit about your support and your crew? Obviously, you said you brought the same people back from the first time 10 years ago. Who was involved and what were their roles?
Yeah, because to explain a bit more, I have to go back a bit on my like sports career. And like in 2014, I was lucky to win 3 big races, like Ultra Trail of Mont Fuji, and then UTMB, and then Diagonal des Fous in Union Island. And at the end of the year, I was like pretty happy, but pretty tired. And I realized that I didn't go with my friends in High Mountain. I didn't. Yeah, I met many times with them. And so I was thinking, okay, if I continue like that, I think I my spirit won't be okay for the next few years. So I have to change something. And from that year, I decided to add like a small adventure because my friend, we train together, but they don't do a lot of races with Bib. And so they are more like engaging adventure or mountain or just training. And so that's why it's like 2 different worlds when I compete and when I train or when I play with them. So I decided, okay, I should reduce at least from 1 races by year and try to add an FKT or adventure just to be able to go together. And so we created that team in 2016 for Corsica, GR20. Then we did John Muir Trail. We did some part of the PCT near Canadian border. And we go back like this year in Corsica. But it's always the same group of friends. It's like friends from long time. And yeah, that means that like maybe now they get a bit older like me, but at least we know each other very, very well. We don't need to speak to feel the feeling, to find the right word to motivate or something like that. And yeah, I'm sure that if they are there, they are like 100% focused on their performance, on the adventure, and to help myself. So that was like a 100% confident team. And yeah, I was pretty happy about that.
That's a really great way to ensure you have time with friends and everybody gets to have an adventure. I really like that.
Yeah, for us was really important. And yeah, even this year they bring like kids and family so we can stay a bit more together. And yeah, that was a very nice group. And for me, like mentally, it's helped a lot.
And you mentioned that you train with this group of friends. So what was your training like for this FKT?
As this one is a bit like particular because it's like very, very technical. So yeah, you have to spend a lot of time in the mountain, in the rock, like because your feet need to be useful about that. And you don't like run that fast and the pace is not like very high. So you really have to be always like focused on the rock where you put your foot, where you need to navigate and to work on that. But this is what like our group like. Last year we did the Nolan's 14 in US, and that was like quite the same, very technical, off trail, even more than in Corsica. And so I think it was a very good training for us.
Aside from the technical aspects, what are the other challenges of the GR20?
Technical, it's like not that technical, but always. So you can never rest. And from the beginning to the end, you never rest. It's always like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And
that's quite intense. So you never know where you have to put the headlamp in the night, if you have to start like early, where the night will be easier. Then the warm is like quite complicated, because if you start too early, you have a lot of snow and it's difficult. If you start too late, you have a lot of storm or a lot of night. So yeah, it's always hard to do that. And then yeah, there's water like each 2-3 hours, but it's not that much. And the accessibility with the road, it's like very complicated. Like for the first 9 hours, you have nothing. Then you can make the road again 6 or 7 hours later. Then it's a bit easier for 2 or 3 hours, but then it's the same for 6 hours and then the end. So yeah, you have like 5 for access. Yeah, 180k, so it's not that easy to access and to secure and to, yeah, to be careful with everything.
Given that it was kind of hard to access, were you with the same pacers for really long chunks of time? Were you by yourself some of it? How often were you seeing people and switching people?
Yeah, I have 6 or 7 friends with me. And so we decided to be always like 2 with me if it's possible. But sometimes was only 1 people and sometimes 2 people. But we, in 2016, they have like very long sections, 6 to 8 hours. It was maybe too difficult and too stressful for them. So that time we decided to change a bit. So sometimes some pacers go like ahead of me, like 3 hours. They just walk to 1 pass or 1 hut or something like that. Then they wait and then they start with me. So at least they have to run only like 3 hours on that section with me. And like each 3 hours, we decided to change the pacer if it's possible. So they don't rest a lot, but they don't race that much with me. I think it was like way more easy for them that year. And we have no like pacer problem. And it was very nice.
When you're out there setting this kind of a pace, you know, it's hard to have somebody keeping up for like a really long period of time.
Yeah, and they have like a bigger bags than me. And yeah, me, I'm really focused on performance. And yeah, so yeah, I'm like professional athlete and they are not. So yeah, it was a bit difficult for them to follow me, especially in mountain when it's ascent. When it's flat or descent, it's maybe more manageable, but like ascent for them, sometimes it was a bit like critical. So if they have only 1 ascent or 2 ascent to do with me, it's, I think, way less stressful for them and easier to manage the pace. And there's less consequence if like they drop or if I lose them, then you have like to find another car to find them and be back on the trail. And it's quite a nightmare.
Yeah, I would imagine. What was your nutrition like out there?
It was a bit stressful because I did like a race test like in Reunion Island 1.5 months ago before that. And I have like some stomach problem, maybe because, you know, now with social media and everything, everybody say, yeah, you have to eat that much of amount of sugar and more you eat, more you perform and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But finally, I know that it's not true. It's maybe okay on like 8 to 10 hours, but not on 30 hours or 40 hours. And so I experienced it. So I was thinking, okay, I know that on 10 hours, I can eat a lot of sweet, a lot of sugar, but more, I don't know how my body will answer. So I decided to go back on my like route. And I just take like 700 to 800 milliliters of sport drinks each hour. And I try to reduce my feelings, because I would like to drink more, but I was thinking it's not a good idea. And then the same for the sweet, I decided to eat only 1 like gel or bar or gum like each hour. So that means I was more like on like 70 to 80 grams by hour of carbs. And I know my body can do way more on less hour, but on 30 hour, I don't want to take a risk, because you can be like just a bit more performer, but then if you drop totally, it's not interesting. So that was the way I chose.
Yeah, I think especially when it's hot, it's hard to balance, because it makes it harder to eat and you want to drink more, but then if you drink too much, you're all sloshy. I think it makes it more complicated.
Yeah, now I know that maybe you can like win like 5 to 10% for the first 10 hours, but then it's not the same.
Right. Yeah. Did anything go wrong out there? Did you have any injuries or did you get lost? Any issues with the navigation?
No, I just, no. Just during the night, I was not really tired, but like you slow down a bit because you feel comfortable behind your pacer. And maybe we reduce a bit. So we lose a bit of time during that moment of the night and when it was really warm. But otherwise, no, I'm pretty happy about my performance. You can always do a bit better for sure. But no, I was really happy. My first goal was to do it again, like 10 years later, no matter the time. My second goal was to try to beat my personal time, then to beat the FKT, maybe to beat the first time 30 hours. So finally, I managed to do these four goals. So I was pretty happy and I cannot complain about any big problem or difficulties. Of course, you can always gain some minutes, but for me, not that much.
So in 2036, will you be back to do it again?
If I'm able to run again and if I feel comfortable to try to do it, why not? In 2016, I was even not imagined to go back. So you should never say never. But now for the moment, I'm pretty happy about that. And I will keep that in my memory.
And so it sounds like you had a series of goals just to do it and then beat your previous time and then maybe be less than 30 hours. And you ended up taking a little less than an hour off of the previous FKT. How did that evolve for you out there? Were you keeping tabs on the record and on your personal best previous? And at what point did you realize, hey, I think I'm going to set the new FKT? Were your pacers keeping track of that and you were just running? How did that evolve throughout the run?
Yeah, we were there in June with all the timetable of my last attempt and what we imagined the FKT was with the Corsica guy, Lambert. And yeah, we made the Rocco and we tried to see what could be the good strategy. So we have a lot of time to analyze during the Rocco and we know exactly at what time I should go there. And to be honest, it was really, really fast on the first part. So we decided to don't try to follow that time and to try to gain some time on him like after the first third. But finally I was like in his time after like 2-3 hours and then winning time on that. And so after 8 hours I had 1 minute ahead of him. So it was like 40 minutes ahead of the time that we expect. So it was a lot. So on one hand, it was very nice. Wow, I feel okay. And I'm so happy because I have like 40 minutes gain. But on the other hand, I was really stressful. Like maybe I was too fast and I can explode later. And so it was very hard for me to say, okay, maybe we can do it or not until the last like 3-4 hours, because all stressful about, okay, maybe we start too fast and we know he starts too fast and it was hard for him at the end. So we were like really stressful about that. But finally we arrived to keep that time and even to win at the end. Because I think, it's like, it's an FKT. So if you are, I think he know like 3 hours before I finished that he was like 40 minutes ahead of me. So I think he reduced his speed and me was a bit the same. I know I was ahead of him. So I don't have to go that fast, but I try to push a bit and was pretty happy about the strategy.
Yeah, that it definitely seems like it would be a lot of, like you said, very stressful. Just knowing like, oh, did I go too fast, too soon? Is this going to all fall apart? And kind of carrying that with you throughout the entire run.
Yeah, it was on one hand happy and on one hand very stressful. But I think it's better to have like 40 minutes ahead of your previous time instead of 40 minutes later of time that you have previous. But it's never win.
Is the end of the route relatively easy? Was it when you reached a certain point, you're just like, okay, I can maintain this lead? Or were there big challenges right up until the end that just kind of had you guessing?
No, it was not like easy, but I was like 7 minutes ahead of his time. So I don't have a lot of margin. You never know what can happen. But for sure, I feel like, okay, my feeling was good. My leg was not that bad. And then, yeah, we say, okay, maybe, yeah, we can try to do like 30 hours, less than 30 hours. So we decided to push as much as we can to have like no regrets. So yeah, I was feeling good and I was not totally destroyed. So it was nice to push, but it was like not easy until the end. And we try to push like to the finish. Yeah.
What was your highest high, your best moment out there? And what was the lowest low?
Maybe I should start by the lowest. Yeah, lowest was like when it was like, yeah, because they say it will be warmer, but it will be windy. And we were thinking with the wind, it will be like better because it looks like less warm and you have some air and something. But finally, we realized that like the hot wind was not that good because it was like very dry for the moose, and then it was like very hard to drink and to eat. And so we were thinking, wow, it's like deception, total deception, because we were thinking it could help us, and finally it's even worse. So during the afternoon was a moment where it was like very, very bad for us, and we were thinking, wow, I don't know if we will be able to continue like that. So we decided to reduce a bit the speed, but it was like stressful and not like very, very good for us. And yeah, some good moment was like, yeah, at the beginning, yeah, it was like, it was warm, but not that warm. And yes, there's a very nice sunrise. And yeah, we were moving like very good. And good time with good friends was like that, very nice. And the two sunrise was like amazing. The first one, because we were like happy about the condition and our feelings. And it's always stressful to start with that. And the second sunrise was like, yeah, it's a critical moment and I'm able to push again at that time. So it like, it's kind of confident. It was the first time that we realized, okay, if we continue like that, we can do it. And so, yeah, it was two very good moments for me.
I always love the sunrise after you've been running all night. There's something very special about that.
Just before, it's like the moment where you are tired. But yeah, when the sun appears, it's always like very nice. Yeah.
So what's next?
For the moment, I try to restart again. I take like 1 month to try to recover because it was a long first part of the season. And now, yeah, I start to run again. And yeah, next week I will be in Chamonix for like a UTMB party, but just to share with people.
Yes.
And then, yeah, maybe if everything is okay, maybe a small adventure race in like mid-October to November, I think I will try to keep that in mind if everything is okay.
That sounds like a very good balance of rest and recovery and adventure.
Yeah, I try because I know when I did too much, then the year after, always I regret. So I try to say, okay, even if you feel very good and you want, no, rest a bit and maybe it would be smarter.
Definitely. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today. I enjoyed chatting with you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for listening and all the questions.
Thanks again, Francois, for coming on the show. You can read about his FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow his adventures on Instagram at Francois Den.